Good afternoon and welcome to this 2022 South Dakota legislative session preview with the District 24 legislators. I am DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra, and joined in the studio by our District 24 delegation, Representatives Mike Weisgram and Will Mortensen, and also Senator Mary Duvall. Welcome all. Can't believe we're back and about ready to start again next week.
Thanks, Jody, for having us in. Yeah, less than a week from now, we will be rolling.
All right. Well, first, let's just kind of get through. There was some work done through summer study committees. I know, Mary, redistricting, you were chair of that. We got that done for another 10 years.
That was an interesting process. It took a lot of time. Fortunately, I had a lot of good people on the committee working with me and an incredibly patient husband who was really helpful and a good sounding board. We did get it done, so it does not have to go to the Supreme Court. And I just thank everyone who took time to weigh in on that and help us get a plan across the finish line.
All right. Mike, I know workforce housing, you folks met and did some discussions and are coming up with some plans for the legislature as well.
Yes. A issue that resonates with many across the state. When I was running for this position, it was an item that resonated with me because of so many of my friends in business have a tough time hiring. And one of the components is, where's my new employee going to live and the affordability of it? So, yeah, there was four really very good meetings about workforce housing. We really learned a lot. And it's so rewarding that the governor has acknowledged the challenges throughout the state with some monies that she is proposing, you know, to fund a program to help workforce housing. Well, actually, the building of infrastructure. So I can get into that more if you wish, but it's an exciting time for that. I do want to remind everybody that the state can kind of work the edges and give opportunities. The risk is still the developer and the people that are willing to borrow the money to, you know, to build these homes.
Developers and lenders. And
correct.
And those buying, you know, the homes and having them built.
Not to mention.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Will, you just had the summer off, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was a pretty full summer on a lot of categories, Jody. First, I appreciate you having us in. It's really nice to be able to connect with folks ahead of session. Once we wind up in the middle of session, there's a lot of emails coming in and a lot of calls. And so being able to get sort of a clear-headed preview of the big important things that are on our radar is really helpful, and I appreciate the opportunity for that. Once we get in the middle of it, boy, it's also helpful to hear from people in Central South Dakota who will actually be affected by what we're doing up there. It's really easy to be inside those four walls and think that's the universe, and that's something the three of us battle constantly, of remembering that we're there to work for the voters and work for the taxpayers, and so we want to hear from you. We can't possibly get enough information on those decisions, and so the more we can hear from folks in Central South Dakota, the better off we are.
All right. Well, let's kind of start. As far as committees, Mike and Will, you guys are still on the same committees, Mike being a member of the House Commerce and Energy and a Local Governments Committee, and then Will, a member of House Education and Local Governments. Mary, you had one little switch, though, with your committee, still on Ag and Natural Resources.
Correct.
Retirement laws. Chair of Senate Transportation, but you've moved from health to state affairs.
Correct. That change was made late this past summer. The health committee was interesting, but it wasn't a committee that I really enjoyed serving on. I love learning about new issues, but it was a difficult committee for me. I will be moving to state affairs, which is where the controversial issues can show up. So again, there will be a whole bevy of new issues to learn about, but I'm looking forward to that committee.
Well, and speaking of one topic that is front and center here in District 24, always because of our location with state governments, nice, wonderful medical facilities, and of course, school districts. The governor's proposal for a 6% increase in funding for state employees, for healthcare providers, and also for education. Just some thoughts when you all first heard the governor mention that. Obviously, it's a big deal for District 24.
Incredibly big deal, not just for District 24, but the whole state. I think that the biggest headlines in my head came this summer when the revenue figures came back and showed that we had double-digit increases in general fund revenue. That is more than 10% new revenue growth. And I knew then, I mean, I'd been pretty intimately involved in these legislative sessions for, I think this will be the 10th year that I've been in there, and nothing remotely approaching that. My first year was I was working the staff of Governor Dennis Dugard when the budget was cut almost 10%. And obviously this is a different scenario, but with 10% revenue growth, I knew that there would probably be a proposal to spend some, certainly not all of that. I mean, we have right now federal revenues that have come to the state, but also come to the citizens that are working their way through. We've got a roaring economy, and we've got pretty well widely acknowledged inflation. And so when you add all of those up, I think 6% is a pretty prudent proposal for an increase. It seems really large to folks who are in the private sector and are saying, well, does that mean I have to give 6% raise to employees? But, you know, if we're going to have economic expansion and we're going to have inflation, then we're going to have rising wages, and that's an okay thing. That can be a good thing. Everybody's got to understand that this is not a year-in, year-out thing. It's going to reset some baselines, and it's an important step. If we can afford it, and I think the governor's shown her work, we can afford it. I think it's a prudent thing, and it's something I'll be advocating for.
Well, and the 6% might seem like a huge windfall for state employees. When you measure it against what inflation is doing, it's really not a huge windfall. But we have been working for the last several years just to try to make state employee wages competitive with the private sector. So I think this is a good move to actually make sure that we have a competitive wage structure for the people who work for the state of South Dakota.
You know, all three of us have a pretty good relationship with the Secretary of Human Resources, and I think we've worked him somewhat hard. And I told him early on, I said, you know, with Social Security having a 5.92 COLA, I think anything under that is going to be a, I wouldn't say an insult, but it we're really going to be behind the times. So I was really glad to see the 6% suggested by the governor. It's a big deal.
Now, does anybody want to lay the odds on it getting all the way through the process and passed? And I guess we'll find out in the final days, right?
We will. My initial reaction is that we will see it pass the finish line. I expect quite a bit of discussion along the way. As Will alluded to, this goes into the baseline, so that will be an ongoing expense. None of us expect the state revenues to keep increasing at the rate they've been increasing at. So there's a little bit of caution from that perspective. But my feeling right now, 1 week before session starts, is that, yes, we will see that come to fruition.
All right. Well, the Flaming Fountain is something that a lot of folks around District 24 are familiar with, or maybe right now it's more of the inconsistently Flaming Fountain is maybe the better way to put it. But with all the talk of the federal funds coming in and one-time projects and one-time dollars, is there somewhere that some repairs, some upgrade to the Flaming Fountain may possibly fit in?
You bet. And, you know, this is one thing where I think a lot of the credit has to go to the governor, the Bureau of Administration, and that staff. It's something that Mary and Mike and I were in bothering them about in even April. I mean, we hadn't been out of session a month, and we just said, you know, if we're going to have one-time revenues like this, including some water dollars, we've got a flaming fountain that just isn't flaming anymore. It still smells bad, but the fire's gone out. And there's a South Dakota School of Mines and and technology sent some engineers down here, and they say that is just not capable of generating a consistent flame. I have some knucklehead buddies who are willing to try to make it do an inconsistent flame. I don't advise that, but it's something that needs to be taken care of. It's too important a thank you to the troops whose memorials surround that flaming fountain that we make that stable for generations to come. I know that there have been talks about adding a Lakota Code Talker memorial as well as a War on Terror memorial to that area. None of those are going to be possible until we can stabilize that fountain, which is basically emitting poison gas at this point, and that's why you can smell it. Again, hats off to BOA, who I think is going to put together the specific planning. This is maybe phase one. This doesn't include the governor's budget proposal. It doesn't include full replacement. It would be to take care of the well issue and set the stage for really some exciting things to come. I know this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. I mean, I take my four-year-old over to see the geese, and I remember being a four-year-old and having my parents take me there. And so it's something that is very meaningful to people in Central South Dakota. I think it's important that we get input from this district on whatever that's going to look like going forward.
You know, I tried to, in our meeting in April, there was a number of things that we talked to the Bureau of Administration about in upgrading really the campus of the state of South Dakota in Pierre. But one of the angles I wanted to point out is that for being a member of Fort Pierre Tourism, tourism is a big deal. And when I say Fort Pierre Tourism, let's just talk about the communities of Pierre and Fort Pierre. You know, where do the majority of our visitors go? They go to take a look at our beautiful capital and the grounds around it. So from a tourism perspective, I'm elated with the chance to make the memorials better. And it'll be such a plus for the community that, you know, yes, let's address it, fix it appropriately, however the plan comes about. But tourism, it's a big deal.
We'll rely more on the engineers than Will's knucklehead buddies, I think.
Well, the engineers.
Come on, some of those guys are engineers.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say that the first time.
It'll be very interesting to see what the engineers come up with because it's not necessarily a blank slate, but there's some real possibilities there, and I'm really anxious to see what those minds come up with.
Some real creative options right there. Well, Mike, while I've got you on the mic right now, let's talk a little bit about workforce housing. Yeah. That is a summer study committee that you were involved in. That is a topic every town, everywhere. We definitely feel it in Pierre, Fort Pierre, and all throughout District 24 and a lot of other parts of the state as well. But what are you hearing? What are you seeing as far as what may be coming to somehow try to make some housing options more affordable, and what level even makes things more affordable?
Okay, so last session when I was talking to other legislators about housing in their districts, everybody's really has the same challenge. But the differences in development sophistication between a Yankton, a Watertown, a Pierre, a Huron, it varies so much. Some people are very polished, have very experienced development directors, and they get it and they're working the best they can. But every legislator that I talk to, what we all have in common is infrastructure. And the cost of infrastructure is expensive before all this inflation hit, and it's really expensive now. So that was one thing that we continue to learn at the summer study, and the governor, I think, is trying to address that. There'll be some other bills come from the committee. One that I hope comes about is to increase the amount of funding for South Dakota Housing Authority on their Opportunity Fund. They have a lot of flexibility with that fund, and I would like to see those professionals have a little bit more money to come up with some programs. I'm not confident that this $200 million is sustainable. I think it's going to be, you know, a third to the developer, you know, a third to the finance people, but another third to the consumer. But the reality is that money I could see will be used up. I know some of the things we talked about is what could be sustainable. And I look forward to some of those bills coming out as well.
You know, and it seems like with housing, it would make sense to me, full disclosure, not a numbers person, not an economist, but, you know, all parties involved should have a little bit of, you know, work, investment, skin in the game there when we're talking about housing and infrastructure. That it helps bring things together and it helps things be taken care of.
Yeah, one of the things that became very clear is that we don't want to pick winners here. We want everybody to have some skin in the game, but we do want to lessen the amount of risk. Because if we do that, we don't want to eliminate it, but if we do that, then there's more chances of getting shovels in the ground.
Are we hearing, thinking more in form of apartment complexes? Are we thinking duplexes? Are we thinking individual single-family homes? I mean, are we hearing anything as far as or that goes, or is that more detailed than we've got to at this point?
Well, affordable housing, you can put the most amount of people for the least amount of investment, I mean, as it's spread over the units with apartment buildings. But we don't want to forget about the American dream of owning a home. So there was as much focus on single-family homes, you know, as well as apartments or duplexes.
Marijuana is obviously going to come up during session, a variety of bills, medical, recreational. There was the Amendment A lawsuit. The Supreme Court has ruled now. Medical, we've started issuing the medical cards, although the growing and the dispensaries are not in South Dakota just yet. Seems like the last few sessions, marijuana took the headlines for what seemed like the entire thing. Do we see it kind of dominating this session coming up, or is it going to be more of this one-time money trying to figure out how to do it? What are we thinking on those?
There are already a number of medical marijuana bills that came out of the interim summer study. They've already been pre-filed, so of course we will be discussing that. The other thing that we will be watching, of course, is the initiated measure that was just approved for the ballot. So from my perspective, again, it will be up to the voters of South Dakota to really decide what kind of marijuana policy we want in our state. As it is right now, I think the legislature needs to make sure that the medical marijuana program is implemented the way the voters passed it. But obviously, there were some areas that needed to be addressed. The measure itself wasn't complete, or it had some things that really needed to be fixed. So we will be discussing that.
And, you know, that happens. I guess it's not the only topic it happens. Once you get into things, sometimes the actual boots on the ground, how it works, isn't quite what we thought.
Right.
So that's not such a... Will?
Yeah. So I just add a couple things. I think it's really well said by Senator Duvall. I mean, on recreational, I wouldn't expect a whole lot to happen this year. There was some really good work done over the summer to put together a framework. If the voters pass the initiated measure in November, the Amendment A that was passed previously was struck down by the Supreme Court because it had three subjects, and our Constitution, you're going to change one at a time. And so the drafters of that measure basically made an error that was found by the Supreme Court. On the medical side, the two biggest areas where I think you're going to read headlines and that we're going to be asked to think about are one, they call home grow, which is the ability to grow marijuana plants in your home if you have a medical card. That provision was both in Amendment A and in Initiated Measure 26. If you'll recall, we didn't change a single word, syllable, comma, period in Initiated Measure 26. That is in full effect right now. But law enforcement in particular, but then also a lot of the medical providers are more comfortable being the sole distributor of these, or having these new licensees, distributors, be the sole distributor and not allowing people to grow what would be a medical product in your basement. For my purposes, I'm really disinclined to change IM 26, something that was passed by the voters. There will be a pretty strong case, I assume, made by law enforcement on that home grow question. So people should, if you want to be engaged in this topic or you have a strong opinion, that's one place where the rubber is going to meet the road. The other one that I can really foresee is going to be patient access. And so that's who can prescribe this. Is it just a doctor? Currently, I believe it's just a doctor or an OB and an obstetrician. Now, if you're going for, you know, Xanax, that could be a whole host of people. I mean, there's a lot of people that we give prescription authority to. And so there will be a few measures that will try to make patient access, I think, look more like the prescription drug world. And I think that's probably appropriate. But to me, those home grow and patient access are going to be the two biggest substantive changes that I see people proposing.
You know, for me, I don't know how much I could add to that, but I see some of the early bills that are being introduced are built around public safety and the use of medical marijuana. So those will be some interesting conversations and needed ones as well.
Again, you're listening to a 2022 South Dakota legislative preview with our District 24 legislators, Senator Mary Duvall and Representatives Mike Wisegram and Will Mortensen here on KGFX. Again, I'm at DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra. Session starts on Tuesday. Well, officially starts on Tuesday. There's been some meetings and things. I know the appropriations folks have been meeting and already ahead of session, several meetings, which is kind of a different deal than normal.
Well, it's an idea that has been talked about before, but this year the Appropriations Committee, the Joint Appropriations Committee, actually is meeting. They've held hearings this week on some of the really big ticket items, like the Department of Human Services, the Board of Regents. Those are big ticket items. Department of Corrections. They will also be holding a hearing on Department of Social Services. And again, this is just to get those agency hearings underway. The Appropriations Committee puts in countless hours during session, does yeoman's work going through every single line in the state budget book, as well as considering all the special appropriations. So I can understand why they want to get a head start on things.
Yeah, most definitely, in balancing the numbers. And I think all of this federal money coming in, yeah, with some with rules and strings and others not, just trying to sort through all of that, I can't imagine what that's going to be like for the appropriations folks, but for all of you as you're working through bills and how to fund things.
One of the things that has been alluded to a couple of times already by both Mike and Will is the fact that we need to be really cognizant of what one-time dollars are and what ongoing dollars are, what is sustainable and what is truly a one-time expense. The other thing that I appreciate in the governor's budget address was the idea that we know the economy is going to not keep up with this rate of growth that we have seen, and so the proposal is to set a little bit more aside for that rainy day that will be coming to South Dakota, and we can weather it better when that date does happen. And so I appreciate that aspect too.
Thoughts? Either of you guys have anything to add to that, or?
No, it just echoes Mary's conservative approach on budgeting these things for this year and in the years to come.
Yeah, I really don't have much more to add. Again, I'm kind of late to the party, but thanks for having us, Jody. It's fun to be here, and it's fun to talk about the issues, and I'm honored to serve with Mary and Will.
It's going to be a busy session. Thank you all for coming in. Kind of just want to wrap things up for what we know at this point as we're heading into what's going to be a busy 38-day session, right, this year? So let's just kind of some closing thoughts at this point.
Well, This is a fascinating process. It's a process that has served South Dakota well for ever since statehood. I like representing this district for a couple of reasons. First of all, people in central South Dakota are familiar with state government. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. We also have just a whole field of experts right here in our community that we can ask questions about different programs within state government. The other thing that I appreciate is the fact that the three of us get to go home every night to our family, and that is huge.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. The one thing that people maybe wouldn't expect as you watch this process is how little time we have to prepare for virtually every issue that we're going to be voting on. Mike and I are entering into our second year, and Mary has a little more experience and expertise than we do, and yet, you know, I think that we are all very committed to continuing to learn on this job. And so I'll put out the same plea I put out to begin this, which is please reach out to us. Please provide your perspective. It is so, so helpful to us. I promise you are not bothering us with an email or something, that we really do need to hear from you to be as fully informed and have as much perspective as we can before we make these decisions. I mean, in 38 days, we'll be taking thousands of votes, literally, and deciding on hundreds of bills, and that is daunting as I sit here, and all the more daunting as the day approaches. And so, really, perspective, advice, good, bad, or otherwise, is appreciated.
Before I get to you, Mike, just while we're on that topic of constituents reaching out, some tips or tricks, what is most helpful for you guys, because I know you're dealing with a lot of people and a lot of topics, is it a quick email that says, this bill, this is this, or why I like it or why I don't like it, a summary like that, what are the longer email, the quick, I mean, just some help us help you get the input you're looking for.
Jody, I think you've nailed it.
For me, at least,
it's bill number, and then let me know that you're from Pierre, Fort Pierre, Philip Highmore, Agar, Oneida, I mean, somewhere in the district. I let people know if they're not in my district. I thank them for providing this, but I generally don't have enough time to basically write out a thoughtful response on that. For folks who are in the district, I feel like I owe that to them, and so I do that in every case, and somebody assuredly that's listening will know that their email fell through my cracks, and so I apologize for that. But
you are human.
But that's certainly my goal, and I think that's probably for you guys too.
Well, and to piggyback on what Will just said, it does not need to be lengthy, but it helps if we know who you are. It helps if we know that you're from District 24. By all means, the last thing that anybody should do is copy and paste a mass email. Those are incredibly ineffective. And even if they are from people in my district, I am not swayed by those at all.
Less impactful than some original thoughts.
Right, and go ahead and stop us if you see us at the post office or the grocery store. Yeah. I don't mind at all visiting with people who have a question or concern.
I really like something written.
Same.
So I can reflect on exactly what their concern is, and much like Mary said, if you can identify where you live, it's very helpful. I think the only closing things I'll mention is that, boy, the time management was surprising to me. Just making sure you read the bills. And by the way, try to understand them is a little challenge. Will helps me a lot, with that.
Reading is one thing.
Yeah.
Understanding is a whole different deal.
Wow. And then I need all of my wits. This is not a job you slide through. If you're going to be dedicated to it and feel good about yourself, serving our constituents, you just it takes all I got, honestly. And something Mary mentioned earlier, and I know Will feels the same. We know personally so many people that work for the state of South Dakota, and until last year, I probably didn't appreciate the professionalism that we have that live in our communities. For some of my legislator friends that have distrust of some of the agencies or a piece of legislation they're bringing, I just don't have that. I don't start with that. And so for me, I'm able to suggest to another legislator that, you know what, I've known this guy for a long time, this person, and I don't think the premise of what of your assumption is correct.
The intent is not evil here. They're really trying to do something.
Yeah, that's something that's really hit home and what I try to convey as well.
Again, a big thank you to our District 24 legislators, Will Mortensen, Mike Wisegram, our representatives, Mary Duvall, our senator from District 24. Do we officially encompass Haakon County now?
We do for gathering signatures and for the primary that is coming up on June 7th.
Okay.
But realistically, anytime someone from Haakon County has called me over the last several years that I've been in the legislature, I've responded to them because they feel like neighbors.
Right. So when do we officially include Haakon County?
Starting with the legislators who are elected in November next session.
So. Okay.
Maybe next session.
Again, thank you to our District 24 legislators, Senator Mary Duvall, and Representatives Will Mortensen and Mike Wisegram, for giving us this 2022 legislative preview here on the DRG Media Group. You'll be able to find a link to be able to listen to this again by looking for the legislative preview slider on our website, drgnews.com, and also the latest KGFX Beyond the Mic podcast. You'll be able to find the audio there as well. This legislative preview is brought to you by River City's Public Transit, Slumberland Furniture, by the Long Branch, by Eisman Homes, and by Medicine Creek Bar Grill Outback in Blount. I'm DRG Media Group News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra.